Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 42 to 47. It's on page 1074. So John, chapter 8, 42 to 47. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God, hear what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God."
Thanks so much, Mark. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would have power tonight to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know if it's just something that is right in front of your nose, and I have to admit there's various times I've done that, and Connor is now away at uni. It's very nice to have him back. And I was on the phone to Connor, and I was talking to him. He'd rung me about something from university. And as I do sometimes do, I was multitasking. And I was talking to him on the phone, and I was also getting ready to go out the door. So I was putting stuff in my handbag and finding my purse. And I'm just such a dippy person that I'm always leaving different things all over the house. So, you know, I go into one room and I've left my purse in one room, and I've taken my credit card out, and so that's by the computer. So Trevor's laughing at me because I do regularly actually wash my credit cards. It's a new form of laundering money. You know, going around the house, finding all these different things. And I'm talking to him, and I'm thinking, where is my telephone? Where's my mobile? I can't find my mobile. And I went up and downstairs twice, and finally I clocked it was actually in my hand talking to Connor, which is, it is just a little worrying. I know, it's worrying. So we can miss what is right in front of us. Have we missed the main thing that God wants for us? I wonder if I asked you, what's the main thing God wants for you? Why did God make you? Why did he make us? Well, Jesus says that what God wants, when he was asked what the main thing was, the most important thing, he said this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." Now, I don't know if you get up every day and live life thinking my most important thing is to love God. I have to admit, I'm very quick to lose sight of that's the main thing, that's the greatest commandment. And that's absolutely amazing, isn't it, that God should actually want my love. I find that absolutely staggering, that my love should matter to God, that he should be interested in it. But he is. God is looking for our love. And I so loved what Mark said this morning, that God is just pursuing us. He's just so longing for us. He's chasing after us, and he'll do anything to get us. And it might not be obvious, but that's actually what came out to me from this reading tonight, that God is looking for our love. And it's a very shocking moment in John chapter 8, actually, when Jesus is beginning to reveal who he is. The religious leaders, isn't love, it's hatred. It's utter hatred. And at the end of our passage, at the end of the chapter, they try to stone Jesus, and they're beginning to get the plan into motion to murder him. And I wanted to focus tonight on verse 42, which says this: "If God were your Father, you would love me." And It's just the most amazing passage. For I came from God. In fact, let's not have it, David, because it's slightly inaccurate translation, that one. And the one in the NIV is slightly better. The correct translation is, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. So, God wants you and me to love him. I think we sometimes think God's a bit different to us. And of course he is utterly different because he's just a zillion times bigger and greater. But we are made in his image. And the core of who you are and the core of whom I am is to want relationship. That's what we're built for. And that's the core of God. That's why the definition of God in the Bible is God is love. So more than your service, more than wanting you to fill a pew in a congregation, more than your money, more than anything else, what God wants is your love. I don't know, have you really taken that in? Did you really know that God wants your love for him? And in Revelation, he comes to one of the churches. I read this week in my readings, and he says to them, you've lost your first love. Because that matters to God. And when I read that, I thought, oh, Jesus, I don't want to lose my first love for you. I just realized that sometimes I let my love for you die and I get so busy doing stuff and even doing church stuff. And actually, this is the main thing. So I want to think a bit tonight about how do we nurture that love for God. Trevor and I sometimes run a marriage course, and we find it's really good for us running it because it always reminds us of things we should do in our marriage. And you have to nurture your love for the person that you're married to because it can die. And one of the things that we encourage people to do in the course is to look back to special times that they have together, you know, to remember a time that the other person made you feel loved. And I didn't tell Trevor I was going to do this. So I hope this is all right. But one of the things that I sometimes think about is Trevor has rubbed my back when I've had a sore back. And it's real sacrificial love because over the years I've had real troubles with my back and neck. And often it'll seize up and I'll get out of bed at about 2:30 and try and sort of sneak out. And Trevor will say, sit up and go, are you all right? Can I give you a back rub? And it's a sign of love. And I will look back on that and think, oh, yeah. You know, that's a sign of how much he loves me. And I can feel that my love for him will respond because of that. And I want to encourage you tonight to be just deliberately remembering and thinking about what God has done for you. I hope you write it down somewhere. I do, because I forget. Think about what God has done for you, how he's loved you. And just turn around to somebody near you and think of it. It could be the big thing of the cross. It might be just something little God's done for you. Turn around and just tell them something that God has done for you that makes you love him. Okay, I'm not giving you too long here. Maybe you've had time for one person at least to say, because we love because he first loved us, always. John says that elsewhere. We love because he first loved us. And we have to be fueling our love for him with that knowledge of what he's done for us. And so I want to just start coming back to verse 42 with the amazing invitation to be children of God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. God wants to be your father. Isn't that amazing? And I really feel he's saying to the Pharisees, it's the longing of his heart that they'd hear him. He wanted to be their father. If God was your father, you'd love me. And he starts his gospel at the beginning of John by saying, to whoever received him, he gave the right to become children of God. That was the plan. That's the gospel. And That's how great God's love is. Again, in 1 John 3:1, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And sometimes I really sense that. Sometimes I lose that sense. I don't know if you do. And you kind of lose that sense of the Father's love for you. And I just encourage you to be seeking God, to be pressing in to that knowledge of his love for you, to think on it, to meditate on it. And some of you, I guess, won't have had great fathers. There'll be a mixture in this room here. But look at the best dads you know. Look at them and they'll give you a little glimpse of what God is like. I actually really love seeing Niku being a dad. I really love it. And I hope he doesn't mind, because I think I've given this example before. But there was a moment in one of the pictures he put up of Madeline where he just said, my heart. And I just looked at him and I went, oh, you know, I felt really moved. But that's what God does when he looks at you. He just adores you. You're his child. You know, he gave everything to make you his child. And we've been talking a bit here about eternity, because he likes you so much, he wants you with him forever. He really loves you. And I was sharing on some of this with a group of women a couple of weeks ago, and that amazing verse where God looks over Jesus and says, you're my beloved son, in you I'm well pleased, and how we are placed in Christ. And God looks over us and he says that. He says, you're my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son. And one of the women who was there said, she wrote me an email, which I got, and she said it was the first time she'd realised that God said that over her. And she went out for a walk and she just heard God say to her, you are my lovely daughter. And as she was listening to God, she had a picture of a child just reaching out and being held by his father's hand. And it was the first time she'd ever heard God speak it to her. You know, you can sort of hear this stuff, but she actually began to believe it for her. And she said that wasn't the end of the story, because she came back from this weekend and her husband is terminally ill and her dad has Alzheimer's, and because her husband's so ill, she hadn't been able to see her dad for 3 weeks, and she was really worried that her dad wouldn't recognise her. And she walked into the hospital and her dad looked at the nurse, this is my lovely daughter. And he reached out and he took her by the hand. And she said she just sobbed and shook, because God was speaking so directly to her heart about how much he loved her. And I would encourage you to take time to let God speak to your heart about how very much he loves you. God wants to make you his own. If God were your father, you would love me. If you begin to take in that God is your father, you'll love him. You will really love him. God wants to make you his own. And the passage is very clear. Not everyone in the world is a child of God. The Pharisees reject Jesus, God's son, and so they reject the Father. And Jesus calls them children of the devil. And they prove it by setting out to kill Jesus. So there is a kind of warning there in this passage that we have a choice. We can receive this great offer or we can reject it. And I would just encourage you, if you're not sure that you've received that offer, we would love to pray with you. We've heard just story after story of how wonderfully God changes lives. God wants children. He doesn't just want servants. He wants to know you as his child. And I think some of you here, probably you still just think you're servants. And God's wanting to tell you that he loves you like a child. We've had Mark staying with us for the weekend, and the boys were laughing at me because we had the milk jug out. And they were like, usually it's the plastic milk carton. And we actually had the milk jug out, and they totally blew my cover. But, you know, family, it's okay to just be who you really are. And God wants you to know that you're his family. You can just be who you really are with him, because that's what it's like being a daughter and or a son in his household. And so part of being a child of God is knowing that you're loved and you're so secure that you can share everything with God. So that's our starter in this wonderful verse. God wants to be our father, but there is yet more. Because Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from... And as I've been thinking about this, it's just been reigniting my love for God, that Jesus came from God for me. And they're such simple words, they're really sort of everyday words, but they're actually really, really amazing. And imagine for a moment that I claimed I came from God. When the boys were younger, we used to have this joke in my family, and I'm slightly embarrassed to tell you this, but never mind, that I would tell them that I'm really Superwoman. And I would tell them, you know, actually, you know, I'm getting tea, but I've just moved so quickly, because I can go faster than the speed of time, that you don't know that I've just been around the world and put out a forest fire in South America. My fingers are still burning a bit. And I don't think I convinced them for very long, but it was all quite fun. Now, if I had actually thought that was true, it would have been worrying. And Trevor would have probably been calling for a doctor for me, because if I really thought I was Superwoman, that would just be barkingly bonkers, wouldn't it? But Jesus said, I came from God. Now, that's either absolutely amazing, or it's totally bonkers. Jesus said, I came from God. Now, what do you make of that? I was looking at that and thinking, that's a bit confusing. Is he God? Did he come from God? How does this work? But, you know, is he saying he's not really God? But then Ellie will be speaking next week on the amazing sort of revelation that I am. And he's clearly claiming to be divine. So that's part of the reason we had our Nicene Creed, because there's such a brilliant line in it where it says, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. So Jesus is God coming from God to us. And I don't know if any of you have followed the sort of voyages to Mars, all these plans to go off to Mars, and there was some woman who was all very excited about the fact she was going to go to Mars and be the first person to have a baby on Mars or something. And she's now given that up, that idea, because she's realised it's probably not the best idea. But I was thinking, you know, big journey. That would be a big journey to be one of the people to go off to Mars. God has made a far bigger journey to come to you. He came from the glory of heaven to make himself tiny for you. Trevor, when we were engaged, used to drive around the South Circular for love of me. God came the length of the universe, if you like, for love of you. Why? Why did he do it? Turn around to somebody next to you. Why did God come for you? Okay, there's a really short answer to that one. Anybody want to give me the really short answer?
He loves us.
He loves us. Good answer. Anybody else want to give me a longer answer? That's a great short answer. So, I have, over the years, watched quite a few Thunderbirds. Trevor, when he was a boy, was a great Thunderbirds fan. I can see him remembering it all now. Anybody watch Thunderbirds? Do you all know Thunderbirds? Yeah, yeah. Okay, they used to be given a mission every week. And I kind of like the TV shows where people get given a mission. And I've just got a little clip from Mission Impossible. And in Mission Impossible, they always are told, Trevor, what is it? This is your...
Your mission if you choose to accept it.
This is your mission should you choose to accept it. Let's see if we can get it up. We might need the lights down. Okay, so Ethan, will he accept his mission? I want you to imagine God the Father saying to God the Son, do you know, I've got a really big mission for you. Earth is in a complete and total mess. And for this mission, you've got to lay down all your power, all your glory. You've got to become one of them. You've got to depend on me for everything. You've got to be totally humble, and you've got to be rejected. In fact, you're going to die in great agony. And it's going to break your heart and mine because we're going to be separated. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. And Jesus did. He came to us. He came to us to rescue us, to make us children of God. If you want to grow your love for God, you need to keep reminding yourself that he's a God who came to you. And now he's here. He didn't just come then, but tonight he's come to you and he's here. I was talking to my dad about this, about how do we nurture our love for Jesus. And his first thing he said was, you know, it's not enough to just hear stuff about Jesus. You need to hear Jesus speak it to you. You need to hear Jesus say to you, I've come to you. And I don't know if you've let him do that, but that's the thing that ignites my heart again. To actually let Jesus say to you tonight, I've come from God and I'm here now for you. And maybe some of you here go, oh, but I can't hear God. I can't hear him. And I've had moments where I've felt like that, but there's an amazing promise in this scripture. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. So if you've put your trust in Jesus, you belong to him, and you can hear him speak to you. And he's saying today to you through his word, really clearly, if you will just listen, I came from God for you and I am here. And there's nothing you are facing that is too hard for me to help you with. It changes everything when we get this. I felt when I was going on those streets, you know, Mark had said beforehand, you're a carrier of the presence of God. God's with you. And I thought, yeah, that shifts it. So will you listen to God? Because in the Bible, hearing isn't just a kind of... It's a little bit different. Old Testament hearing involves an active listening. And when Jesus says, hear me, he's talking about a response, an engagement, a belief. Will you take in what God is saying to you? And I want to say to you, it's really important we have to consciously and intentionally decide to do this. Because Satan, as our passage says, is the father of lies. And he will be lying to you all the time about who God is. He will try and tell you that God isn't there for you, that you can't hear God, that you don't belong to God. He'll be saying all sorts of things like that because he is the father of lies. He came to Jesus and said, if you're God's son, and he'll say that to you if you're a child of God. But as Trevor said last week, the truth sets us free. And if you want to live in the fullness of the freedom that God has for you, you have to be intentionally listening to the truth. So apparently bank tellers learn how to tell what the counterfeit notes are by handling lots of the real ones. That's the only way you can learn what the rubbish is. So I want to encourage you to immerse yourself in the truth of what God says about you. So, for example, if you are listening every day to the truth that God is my Father, that I've been born again, I'm a new creation, there's no shame, then I stop being frightened. I don't listen to the lies. If I listen to Jesus saying, I came for you, then I stop feeling I'm worthless. If I begin to take in Jesus saying, I'm here. And I just feel right now, some of you just need to hear the Lord say, I'm here. Will you listen to God? As God's children, that's what we're called to do. Whoever belongs to God listens to him. If you have a family where people don't listen to each other, it all goes horribly wrong. If we want to nurture the love that God seeks from us, we have to set ourselves to listen to him. Now, I don't know if any of you find that easy. Honestly, I don't. I find often when I start to listen, my mind's just full of a zillion things. But do you know God loves to speak to us? And I find I don't hear an audible voice, just in case any of you think I do. Often I just get a thought, an impression comes through my mind. It feels a bit like sometimes some of my own thoughts. And learning to sort of snatch hold of it. Somebody described it brilliantly to me, like catching a butterfly. And when I was speaking at St. Stephen's last Sunday, somebody came up for prayer, and I didn't know him, and he'd been really moved in the course of the service. And I just said, you know, just had the word loss come to my mind. And I said, have you had a bereavement? And he had. And God knew about him. But I could so easily have missed that thought. So we have to very intentionally kind of tune in to what God is wanting to say to us. But the main way he speaks to us is what? Somebody tell me. The Bible. Well done. It's his word. Day in, day out, we've got to be tuning in and listening to the truth of what he says over our lives. Brilliant Bible app from HTB if you want a bit of help in doing that. Pick up the Psalms, read the Gospels. If you want some help as to how to read the Bible, we would love to talk to you about that. Because we are called to remain in his love, and this is how we do it. But it's not just listening to God. There's two-way communication in any loving relationship. And I have got beamed, especially from Whitney in Oxfordshire, my father, who I talked to about this, and I thought, he's bound to just say it so much better than me. So I am really delighted that we have a short video clip of the Reverend Martin Pepiot.
Answer that question. May I just mention that it's really very exciting for me to feel that I might be going to say a few words to the evening congregation at Holy Trinity Richmond. I've so loved my periodical visits to your church over many, many years. And
so have we.
And all according to whether Kate decides to make use of this little video that she's making. She may well rule it out, and it may not.
No, she won't.
Ever appear. But in case this does actually come up, that makes me feel rather happy, and I try to imagine you sitting there thinking about these words from St. John chapter 8. She's shared with me that she's going to bring something from a part of St. John chapter 8. Now, remind me, Kate, what was it you wanted me to comment on?
We would like your help as to how, perhaps some of the things that have helped grow your love for Jesus, or what can help us grow our love for Jesus.
I would love my love for Jesus to be a lot greater than it is right now, But I guess one thing that helps us is just talking to him, not about our interceding about people we're worried about or interceding for our family or our church, but just talking to him personally and saying how wonderful it is to belong to him, what a wonderful God he is, and we're just so thankful that he ever set his love upon us. And actually putting that into words, either silently or out loud, I think helps us. And just as in families or between those who love each other, they find that speaking out their love for each other isn't just sheer sentimentalism, it actually strengthens their hearts and leads them on to love each other more fully.
I think I was tempted to just get him to do the whole talk, frankly, but still. You know, it's so lovely, isn't it, that that's one of the ways we strengthen our love for the Lord. And some of you know we have this little tradition in my family that at birthdays we tell the person whose birthday it is what we love about them. And we've all grown to love this tradition. And as we tell that person what we love about them, you feel that love inside you just kind of grow. It's as though it deeply strengthens it. And I often, this, of course, this is what we're doing in worship. We're just telling the Lord what we love about him. But we can do that in an engaged way or not. Does that make sense to you? We can just go through the motions. And I've been learning, it was actually something to say to the Lord, I love you, Lord. You know, I love you that you've rescued me. You know, I love you that you made this beautiful world or whatever it is. And as we do that, it strengthens and deepens our love for God. So, what are you going to do to kindle your love for God this week? Just have a little think out of the different things I've said. Maybe it's that you can just listen to him, remind yourself of what he's done for you. Or maybe you can just make a choice to tell him just how much you love him, what he means to you. We're going to just go on now and share communion. And one of the words for communion is Eucharist, which just means thanksgiving. And as you come, I think this is a holy time for us to come before God and thank him that he came for us and that he's here. And often we sense the power of God as we come for communion, as you receive the wine and his blood shed on the cross for you. Just thank him that that's his healing, cleansing presence coming into your life. As you take the bread, thank him that he loved you so much that he came and his body was broken on the cross for you to make you whole. Come before him as you are. Thank him that he's made you a child of God forever. We're so thankful, aren't we? So let's just pray together.